Richard Powers was shortlisted for the Booker Prize in 2018 for Overstory, which went on to win the Pulitzer Prize. His follow-up, Bewilderment, has now also been shortlisted for the Booker, and likewise focuses on the ecological damage humans are doing to our planet, this time through the lens of a recently widowed space scientist and his otherworldly 9-year-old son. He joined me during a recent visit to London to share the books of his life.
Richard, was there a book that you read as a youngster that made you fall in love with reading or want to become an author?
There absolutely was. I can still remember the incredible mystery of reading, you know, watching these adults just sit still and somehow tap into something that was associated with these strange markings on the page. And I taught myself how to read at a fairly young age. And I loved the mystery and the adventure of so many books when I was young. But there was one in particular, one of the earliest books that I ever read from beginning to end, that has stayed with me my entire life and whose full meaning for me only became apparent much later. Talking about a book by an author named Crockett Johnson called Harold and the Purple Crayon. And the story of Harold is that whatever he drew with his purple crayon became real. You know, he could draw a boat, then he could get in that boat and sail away on it. He could draw the sun, and the sun would replace the rainy day that he was living in, and all other such magic that grew simply from his imagination and his ability to represent something. It wasn't until I was well embarked on my career as a novelist and had written several books that I thought, I'm just trying to be Harold. I'm just, you know, trying to, through the power of my own imagination and ability to articulate and realize something, to make it real.
Unfortunately, Harold and the Purple Crayon by Crockett Johnson isn't available in audio, but here's a clip we found on YouTube of Adam Schlesinger reading the story.
One evening, after thinking it over for some time, Harold decided to go for a walk in the moonlight. There wasn't any moon, and Harold needed a moon for a walk in the moonlight. And he needed something to walk on. He made a long, straight path so he wouldn't get lost. And he set off on his walk, taking his big purple crayon with him. But he didn't seem to be getting anywhere on the long, straight path. So he left the path for a shortcut across the field, and the moon went with him.
And is there a book that on a rainy day you'd like to curl up with and reread?
I chose for this something a little bit unusual. I went with a play script. I went with Tom Stoppard's play Arcadia. To me, it's one of the many works of my contemporaries that I deeply admire, but I admire Arcadia so much that I would trade, you know, two or three of my own books to be able to have written it. I mean, it is so outrageously witty. I mean, that's Stoppard's trademark, isn't it? And to curl up with it on a rainy day and take time with the incredibly inventive and elaborate repartee and wit that's flying around between the characters, to slow it down and just savor how much intelligence and feeling went into creating this dialogue is quite a luxury. But there is enormous tenderness in this play as well. And the attempt that I have also committed myself to in book after book, to unite the mysteries of scientific understanding with the mysteries of interpersonal interaction, with history, with politics. In this play, Stoppard gets half a dozen or more plates spinning in the air, and it's just a dazzlement to watch these people blunder forward into a future that is controlled by a past that they don't entirely understand, that's been lost to them. But the ways in which they keep pushing themselves outwards to say, to be, to understand, to rejoin this pageant of history and human understanding is just deeply moving to me. I could read this play again and again.
I thought you were doing The Hermit.
I am. I still am, but Bernard, damn him! Thomasina's tutor turns out to have interesting connections. Bernard is going through the library like a bloodhound. The portfolio was in a cupboard.
There's a lot of stuff around. Gus loves going through it. No old masters or anything.
The maths primer she was using belonged to him, the tutor. He wrote his name in it.
Reading, Septimus Hodge.
Why were these things saved, do you think?
Why should there be a reason?
A cast of volunteers narrating Arcadia by Tom Stoppard, which is available from the RNIB Library.
And finally, is there a book you've read recently that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I wanted to mention a book that deeply inspired my previous novel, Overstory, and was kind of a guiding spirit for bewilderment. It's the book Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. Robin Wall Kimmerer is herself a bryologist. She studies mosses, and she has made great contributions to the field of botany and the field of bryology. She is a practicing scientist of the First Order, but she is also an enrolled member of the Anishinaabe people. She is a Native American, and she was raised in and has herself further studied and come to inhabit the ways of knowing the world that her people have kept alive. The deep sense, as she calls it, of reciprocity and interdependence, even interbeing, that is the heart of her inherited culture. She is also the mother of two daughters, and her book is attempting to braid these three ways of knowing the world: the knowledge of a scientist, the knowledge of a Native American, and the knowledge of a mother. It's very moving. I listened to this on audiobook while on a car trip across the United States, and I several times had to pull over because I was weeping so badly I couldn't see through the windshield. It's a truly moving and wise book, and it's no coincidence that my Robin at the heart of bewilderment has the same name as his spiritual godmother.
November is not a time for flowers. The day is short and cold. Heavy clouds drag at my mood, and sleet like a muttered curse propels me indoors. So when the sun breaks through for that rare yellow day, maybe the last before the snow falls, I have to go. Because the woods are quiet this time of year, without leaves or birds, the buzz of a bee seems inordinately loud. So intrigued, I follow her path. What could bring her out in November? She makes directly for bare branches, which, when I look closely, are strewn with yellow flowers, of witch hazel.
Robin Wall Kimmerer narrating her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, which is available commercially.
Richard Powers, thank you so much for sharing your love of reading with the listeners and for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you, Red. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Like all the books on this and previous year's shortlists, Bewilderment is available from the RNIB Library, thanks to the generosity of the Booker Foundation.